Beijing has extended 3 concessions to Taiwan following the KMT's recent visit to China. First, it's offered to donate prefabricated housing to earthquake-stricken Hualien.
It has also lifted an import ban on Taiwanese pomelos and given the green light to Fujian for travel to Mazu. In response, the executive yuan said that the olive branch was a small step forward, but it emphasized that more communication was needed for healthy cross-strait exchanges.
We hope this trip can
During a visit to China, KMT Caucus Whip Fu Kunqi met Wang Huning, chair of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. Fu had called for a thaw in cross-strait relations. China responded by offering to donate prefabricated housing to Hualien, lifting its import ban on Taiwanese pomelos, and allowing tourism from Fujian to Mazu. The last concession met a lukewarm response from Taiwan's transport ministry.
These regulatory changes are less than what we anticipated. Before the pandemic, people from all provinces of China were allowed to travel to Taiwan. Now they are letting residents from just one province visit Taiwan for tourism. Cross-strait exchanges are not merely about economics. They're also determined by politics. A single political decision made unilaterally can kill all exchanges on the spot. That's not something we want to see in the future.
The DPP lawmaker acknowledged that China's regulatory easing was a positive move, but he said it was also important to have a system in place that prevents Beijing from unilaterally imposing bans and then lifting them. But a KMT lawmaker said the DPP was in no position to be so critical.
This trip to the mainland was focused on tourism and agricultural and fisheries exports. The DPP should gather up courage to tackle the other issues instead of watching our efforts and casting stones from the sidelines. That is not what responsible political parties do. Due to the many obstacles that have been set in our path, we hope that cross-strait exchanges can be approached from the angle of mutual benefit, goodwill, and cooperation. This is indeed a small step forward. We need to communicate more in the future to ensure that the steps we take to opening up to each other are beneficial for both sides of the strait.
Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan said more goodwill on both sides of the strait could pave the way for mutual trust. He stressed that cross-strait exchanges should be handled with care to prevent China from taking advantage of Taiwan.
The Taiwan Stock Exchange traded sharply higher on Monday, cheered by last Friday's rally on Wall Street. Buying was seen in the finance and electronics sectors.
The TAIEX gained 1.86% to close at 20,495 points, above the 20-day moving average. Turnover totaled 420 billion NT.
AI-related stocks have been performing fairly well. In the finance sector, the dividend situation is better than last year when everyone took on a more pessimistic and conservative outlook. But after this short-term market rise, we'll arrive at the zone in which traders get left holding the bag. There will likely be some fluctuations in the future. The earnings reports of AI companies, including Supermicro and of tech heavyweights like Apple, will be of concern going forward.
The analyst said that Taiwan's market trends will be affected by the earnings reports of major U.S. companies, as well as the U.S. Federal Reserve's policy meeting this week. He says that although prospects are good for many individual stocks, traders should stay mindful of global economic events and avoid blindly chasing highs. The April 3rd earthquake in Hualien has dampened tourism to neighboring Yilan County. Hotels have reported a sharp drop in occupancy rates.
Ahead of tax season in May, the Yilan County government announced relief on property taxes to ease the pressure on hotel operators.
A floor-to-ceiling window offers stunning views of Yilan's verdant landscape. For many travelers, rooms like this are the top choice for an escape. But the April 3rd earthquake in Hualien has dealt a blow to local tourism. Once fully booked on weekends, hotels now struggle with vacancies. Earthquake aftershocks, big and small, have made many people reconsider trips to Yilan, Hualien, or Taidong.
During the pandemic, tourism in Yilan and Hualien fared fine. But since the earthquake, people have hesitated to come to Yilan because they associate this area with Hualien.
With tax season coming up in May, the Yilan County government is offering an installment plan on property taxes. Amounts less than 200,000 NT can be paid in 6 monthly installments. Amounts between 200,000 NT and 1 million NT can be paid in 12 monthly installments. Amounts from 1 million NT to 5 million NT can be spread over 24 monthly installments. Anything above 5 million NT can be paid in 36 monthly installments over 3 years.
Taxpayers, including accommodation providers who face difficulties in paying their taxes, can submit the relevant documents at tax collection agencies before the deadline to request payment in installments. It offers some breathing room. It definitely will lift some of the pressure on businesses.
The installment program applies to accommodation providers as well as any taxpayer who can prove financial hardship. The local government hopes the program will help earthquake-affected citizens and the hospitality industry get through tough times.
Chen Yitong has become Taiwan's first male Olympian in fencing since 1988.
He booked his ticket to Paris by winning the men's individual foil event at the Asian Oceanian qualifiers in the United Arab Emirates. 21-year-old Chen was introduced to fencing in the third grade. At 15 years old, he was the youngest athlete to represent Taiwan at the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta. Chen is the sixth Taiwanese fencer to ever qualify for the Olympics. The last time a Taiwanese fencer competed was 12 years ago when Xu Ruoting made the top 32 in the women's epee event. Now we meet Hyunjin Kim, a South Korean artist who has built her life in Taiwan. She first moved to Taiwan at the age of 23 to study art. Since then, her life has taken many twists and turns.
More than 40 years later, all those ups and downs are providing rich material for her work. She's best known for her woodblock printing. In recent years, her existing series of contemplative prints has won acclaim both in Taiwan and abroad. She showed FTV how to print a woodblock and chatted to us about life as an immigrant in Taiwan.
Hyunjin Kim focuses as her knife flicks back and forth. She works directly into the wood, bringing scenes from her life and her imagination onto the wood, as well as a vivid sense of a universe brimming with energy. Kim has been working on her existence series for several years.
What are these two people thinking? What are they saying to each other? People are walking the road behind them, thinking about things.
Kim uses the single block printing method, carving each piece of wood multiple times and printing a different color with each press. This piece already has 5 colors and is being pressed for the 6th time. This time, various shapes have been added and it's being printed in pink.
I'm so nervous. I don't know how it will turn out.
Woodblock printing is very time consuming. It can be hard and lonely work. Kim looks forward to seeing each color emerge on the paper. Even if one print doesn't come out as she hoped, she might be able to correct it for the next one. In the end, no print is a disappointment.
Sometimes the color as it comes out is different to what I had imagined, but sometimes it's more beautiful than I had imagined. So woodblocks bring us lots of anticipation and joy.
Kim came to Taiwan at the age of 23 as a graduate student of art. At one point, she had put her artistic career on hold, but in the end, she found her calling again in the world of woodblocks. Pebbles picked up on the beach and used tea bags become materials in her hands. Her prints have won many awards in Taiwan and abroad and are her greatest treasures. She came to Taiwan in order to elevate her art and went through periods of loneliness and struggle here. But now, life has come full circle. At 65, Kim is enjoying the present more than ever with her family.
Actually, when I look back, those feelings I had when I was at my lowest have all become material for my creativity. So, they were things I needed to experience. So, looking back, I'm grateful for everything.
Hungary's Mausin Model Show is one of the world's top competitions for scale models.
In the recently concluded 25th edition, Taiwan won 2 overall best-in-class titles, 6 golds and 2 silvers.
For this contest, I focus primarily on military models. When preparing their works, modelers must first ensure precision. Secondly, your colors must be striking, and the design must be innovative.
Winning
Winning feels very surreal to me. When I heard, my mind went completely blank. As a child, I played with models, and my father never really discouraged me. After I won that prize, I received a congratulatory message from the president. I also won a gold. If my father were still here, he would be even happier than I am.
72-year-old Tao Xuanxi presented a robot that blends vintage and fantasy elements. His creation earned him a Best of Sci-Fi Award and the gold medal. This year's Mosin Model Show drew more than 924 participants from 47 countries. Now for an update on the Polim Kapitium food poisoning scandal. A fourth person has died in connection to the outbreak. A 40-year-old woman succumbed to multiple organ failure early Monday morning after seeking medical treatment for nausea and vomiting.
She brings the outbreak's death toll to four. Two others are currently in intensive care, and one of them is being considered for a liver transplant.
In the Polim Kapitium scandal, the first person to come down with severe food poisoning was Huang Shujun after eating a rice noodle dish. She was recently discharged from the hospital after 22 days.
My liver indexes have returned to normal, but my doctor has told me not to eat anything too greasy or salty. No instant noodles and nothing overly processed. Basically, I should try to eat more whole foods.
The food poisoning scandal's third death was reported over the weekend, and a fourth emerged early Monday morning.
The latest casualty was a hospital patient. Her family did not wish to see her suffer, so they signed a DNR order and opted out of emergency resuscitation. She passed away today in the early hours.
This latest casualty was a 40-year-old woman who ate at the restaurant in Far Eastern department store Xingyi A13 in mid-March. She fell ill with nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea and was admitted to Taipei's Mackay Memorial Hospital. Doctors were able to stabilize her condition at first, but a worsening infection and multiple organ failure led to her death around 3 in the morning on Monday.
Her lung infection worsened over the past few days, and her septic shock became more severe. There was no way to control the infection. Her family was informed that her condition was irreversible.
To date, 35 cases have been reported in the food poisoning outbreak. These include four deaths and two people still in intensive care. One of the two is at Taipei Municipal Wanfeng Hospital and is showing signs of improvement following a liver transplant. The other, located at Nehu's Tri-Service General Hospital, is still in a state of impaired consciousness. The patient is now undergoing an evaluation for a liver transplant.
The T-Pass monthly transit pass was created to give commuters cheap and convenient access to public transportation. Almost a year on, about 6 million passes have been sold for use in 19 cities and counties and used more than 400 million times.
To celebrate, the Transportation Ministry is holding a drawing with the grand prize winner to receive a transit value of 15,000 NT.
Premier Chen Jianren, Transport Minister Wang Guocai, and Executive Yuan Secretary General Li Mengyan share a stage to celebrate nearly 1 year with T-Pass.
When my sister's child returned to Taiwan, they traveled around everywhere. So to them, T-Pass was pretty convenient. Not just us Taiwanese, but also international travelers have given good feedback.
Rolled out in July last year, the cabinet coordinated among local governments to offer different fees depending on region. Today, a total of 6.09 million passes have been sold and used over 400 million times on all types of public transportation.
We at the Transport Ministry are often criticized for our shortcomings. Only T-Pass has been universally praised. We've been trying to promote use of public transport. We put in a lot of effort, but even reaching 5% was hard. But now we've seen enormous growth of 15.8%.
After receiving overwhelmingly positive feedback, Wang said the government is set to continue T-Pass. It has also launched a raffle. Users who register on the Highway Bureau website before June 30th will be eligible to win one of 1,000 prizes, the grand prize being 15,000 NT in transit credit.
It's not bad. I can ride the MRT as much as I want. The policy is great. I can see the money I've saved. I think if its uses could be expanded further, it would be even better.
The response to TPOX has been enthusiastic. In addition to helping saving money, many users hope to see it expanded to encompass more uses in the future.
New Taipei's Hodong, a small village famous for its cats, has gotten a new landmark, the Cat Public Office. It stands in a renovated railway dormitory and it boasts comfortable living quarters for cats that are up for adoption.
The office's mission will be to turn tourist football into higher adoption rates. At its inauguration ceremony on Monday, a Kiloko cat named Doriyaki was named the office's first and cutest director.
The door opens to reveal wooden cat kennels, a tree-like scratching post, and plenty of feline toys. This is the new Cat Public Office in Hodong in New Taipei. The building previously housed a dorm for railway workers. Now, it's a comfortable living space for cats that are up for adoption. In 2023, the Animal Protection and Health Inspection Office gave the building a facelift, making it an adoption center and fresh landmark for Hodong. Calico Cat sits vigilant. This is Doriyaki, the former head of the Cat Public Office Planning Committee. With the office now in business, Doriyaki has been promoted to become its first and cutest director.
It was a bit decrepit before, so it wasn't a good environment for the kitties to interact with people. It was very hard to get close up and personal. The new design allows for more interaction between people and the animals. It feels more natural.
U.S. cable network CNN named Hodong one of six places worldwide where cats outshine tourist attractions. At a ceremony on Monday, the Cat Public Office introduced its initiatives for improving cat care in the village. The office issues cat national IDs and conducts a population census in hopes of finding a suitable home for each cat.
第一个，它是个资讯站，那么它把所有我们这个猫村相关的资讯呢，都可以一目。
This is an info stand you use to access all sorts of information about the cat village in an easy-to-understand way. There's tourist information, information about cats, and public health rules. It's all available like at a regular district office.
Hodong's Cat Public Office is not just a new tourist landmark, but an attempt to turn visitor traffic into higher adoption rates. The local government hopes the public will adopt, not abandon, give more animals a loving home, and help Hodong continue to be a friendly community for cats.
Sixth grader Lin Ziyang's American father passed away when he was only 3 months old, leaving his mother to raise him on her own. Then, when Lin was in second grade, his doctors discovered a tumor in his brain.
He found solace from his pain in drawing, and after winning the 10th Dream Building Project, realized his dream of holding an exhibition of his work.
On one side of the painting are cancer cells faced by a litany of doctors, medicine, and friends in an epic battle of survival between good and evil. The artist is 12-year-old Lin Ziyang, born to American and Taiwanese parents. When he was only 3 months old, his father died of illness. Then, at the age of 8, Lin himself was diagnosed with glioblastoma, an aggressive form of brain cancer.
It came out of the blue. When Ziyang's father passed, it was actually Ziyang who got me through. So when I heard the news, I thought, how could it be? It's also malignant. After I heard it, that entire month I cried every day, whenever I thought about it.
Still young at the time, Lin didn't understand the concept of life and death, but he could feel the pain as clear as day. He lost his hair during chemotherapy, and the medications made him sick and irritable. All he had as distraction was drawing.
I just thought, I don't want my family to know or worry. I didn't want the adults to know I wasn't feeling well, so I drew.
He drew to forget his pain, but soon fostered a dream to exhibit his work. He got the chance in March with support from the National Immigration Agency's Dream Building Project. All proceeds from his art sales were donated to the Care Fund at the St. Mary's Hospital Hospice Unit.
With more medical equipment, they can treat more patients. I hope more people can be like me and live better lives.
Lin has made it to the other side of his illness. Sharing his experience through art has helped him express the joys and meaning of life.
The first plum rains of the year are set to arrive on Wednesday, bringing slightly lower temperatures and showers island-wide. Forecasters expect heavier rains along the west coast and northeastern Taiwan.
The front is set to linger until Friday.
The weather will become more unstable. We're seeing rainfall pattern of brief showers or thunderstorms, especially in the western, northeastern, and eastern regions. Heavier rains are likely. We advise people to be cautious as the front passes, as this will bring rain and stronger northeasterly winds. Daytime and nighttime temperatures will drop slightly, making it a bit cooler. After the front passes on Friday, humidity levels will start to go down, but there will still be a chance of localized showers.
Earlier fronts have already provided some relief for the ongoing drought. In the south, Xinwen Reservoir has risen to 35.47%. Nanhuan Reservoir is nearing 30%. In the north, Shimen Reservoir is at 27.9%, and the second Baoshan Reservoir is at 36.5%. With more plum rains expected over the next 2 months, officials expect a significant increase to the water supply.